Well, the weekend's over, so it's time to chat about it. Got a midget and a Jew, so why don't you sit down and listen to a no podcast during lunch, dinner, or breakfast. Brad Williams and Adam Ray are here for you any time of the day. So come on and treat yourself right. It's about last night.
Flip a switch on one of the sides there.
What, I gotta do something?
Yeah.
Whoa. Drama.
Does this cancel noise?
Yes, it does.
Whose?
All the outside noise. So you're not distracted by...
So you won't hear my neighbor pounding
on
the ceiling above me because my Netflix episodes of The Office on four bars of the volume are too loud.
Exciting.
Because guess what, lady? They're not. She, no joke, pounded so hard on the ceiling last night, I thought a foot, cartoon style, I thought a foot was going through...
Oh, no kidding?
...the roof.
Are we on?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
This is...
We just kind of rolled it into it.
It has begun?
I'll choose if this opening is, good enough to start with.
I decide. I have final edit.
Kirk Fox has final edit of all his podcasts.
It's at HBO Aspen Comedy Ego, man.
Man, that was a long time ago.
2007.
I haven't thought about it since then. But let me just take in the room first.
Please.
Yeah.
This is a Hollywood apartment, man.
There you are, Brad.
Yeah.
I haven't seen you in a while. Adam, yeah. I see you around. This is good.
This is really good.
Exactly.
I drove here. I parked here. I made a phone call. You came out.
Right.
Now I'm in.
Don't you wish it was just that easy where you could make one phone call and then a midget would come out and guide you to wherever you needed to go?
Isn't it that easy?
For you, I guess.
Dude,
we're buddies.
You got to have that fuck you money, man, where you can hire midgets to just greet you everywhere you go.
Well, because now they have Uber, right? And Uber's the car service where you just send out a text.
Dude,
and,
what
a
would
car.
Be called if it's a midget car service?
Oh, my
Uber.
God.
Sounds the same.
Same services.
Uber sounds extra small.
Uber with a lowercase u, and that's how people are the difference.
Yeah.
Pay a little extra money, you buy the premium package, we come out with tiny rickshaws. That's just how these things are going to happen.
Yeah.
Would you sell yourself if someone rich just wanted to have you around?
Listen, I was just on an episode.
That's yes, by the way. He's going into a long anecdote.
I was just on an episode of Sam and Cat.
How long an anecdote?
Pretty good length.
Well, listen,
Kirk Fox.
I didn't know I was here to listen.
We'll get to you in a second.
No,
it's harsh.
Right.
Oh.
I'm just trying to figure out. You gave me noise canceling cans. I guess it doesn't cancel all noise.
Not mine.
Not Uber noise.
Noise from the Uber. No.
You're trying to tell us about your Nickelodeon credits.
Yes, I was going to say, I will do just about anything for money because I was just on a show called Sam and Cat on Nickelodeon.
I know it well.
And starring Ariana Grande, who I did not know who she was, then looked her up. She's got 20 million Twitter followers or something.
Says it all.
And that says she's a good person.
It does, doesn't it? We're in that kind of age where it's people go, I'll say it.
You got that many followers, you're doing something right.
Yeah.
I guess.
Not my current manager, Barry Katz, but my manager before would say things to me like, oh, man, we got to get your Twitter followers up. We got to get your Twitter followers up.
Well, that's when it first hit and nobody knew what it meant.
Is Barry your manager now?
Yeah.
That's unbelievable. I don't know anyone that he doesn't manage now.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
It's unbelievable. It's awesome.
Yeah.
I wonder why he doesn't have time for me. He's going Uber short.
Trying to get that Uber car out there.
He's trying to get Uber, man. I mean, telling you, these guys.
Your Barry has gotten better since you've been with him.
Well, because now I'm doing weekly phone calls with him. So
you mean your Barry has gotten better?
Yeah. My Barry impression is doing all right. What do you think?
You got one in you? You're not really an impression person, are you?
No, I don't need to.
He's like, oh, I'm funny just without
you
it.
Don't.
No, I mean, I can do Barry if I have to. I just try not to think about him too much.
How long have you been doing stand-up comedy? Since we brought up the Aspen thing, which was what? Best comic in the festival. Which
on earth that moment. At that
a
altitude,
worldwide call went out. Let me ask you, Kirk
November,
Fox is number one.
November 10th, 2002 is when I began.
All stand-up right. comedy.
That was it.
When did you get that label thrown on you from the festival? How many years after? Before? Maybe they gave it to you before you even started.
No.
Like, this guy should do it.
If it was in 2007, I would say 4 or 5 years in.
That's just simple math.
I mean,
here
we can do math.
Podcast.
I didn't know I was here to do the math.
To do homework.
Let me ask you something. Like, when you, like, first of all, do you still...
Now, you have that computer there that just has all the questions?
Nope. Nothing.
No,
are you playing chess with some 8-year-old in Russia?
Possibly.
I like it.
He's losing to Oleg right now.
All right, go ahead.
I'm playing words with friends with autistic kids.
I'm here to answer questions. No. As uncomfortable as I am, I'm going to try and be...
No, you're very comfortable.
No, I'm not.
Are the
You're not? Why is that?
I'm just not. I'm rarely comfortable.
No shit.
So it's not just us. It's not the vanilla scented candle.
That's why I put the candles out.
The candles are nice. I'm just trying to get comfy. First of all, I'm very tall. These seats are awkward.
Do you want? I have a beanbag chair.
No. Then I'd spend a lot of time talking about the beanbag.
You know what? I don't have a beanbag chair.
Well, see, look, we're already still talking about it. We just spent 4 minutes on beanbag. We don't even have one.
After you get a label like that, like, what does that do? Pressure after that, or do you just feel like, okay, cool, here we go, now I get to, like...
There was absolutely no pressure. No. It did absolutely nothing, really. I think I probably got a good manager and an agent out of it.
You don't think where you are now somehow, like, over time has, like, that...
Well, I think wherever you are now is because of anything that has happened.
I'm sure.
Aspen helped. You know, I got my picture in a few papers, and I got to go to Edinburgh a month or two later.
Love that place.
So that was fun.
Yeah.
It was awful, but it was important to go there.
You didn't like it?
Well, no one laughed for a month.
For, like, at your stand-up or...
My stand-up.
Just in general.
Oh, there were people laughing.
Okay.
Just not when I was within the vicinity. I did about 25 shows with Mark Maron.
Uh-huh.
We split an hour.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I did the first 30 minutes, and then he did the next 30 minutes. And the first 30 minutes... There were no laughs.
Did they laugh for Maron, or were they just bad audiences?
They're not bad audiences. It's never really a bad audience. People want to laugh.
Mm-hmm.
But they weren't buying whatever I was selling at the time.
What are you selling now, Kurt Fox?
Probably the same stuff, but maybe a different angle in.
Sure. Mm-hmm. How much? In all seriousness, is there anything...
Isn't everything in all seriousness? Let's just assume... Let's assume that it is... Let's assume it's going to be...
But like,
I didn't travel 4 blocks to jack off.
I'm pretty sure that's the name of your next comedy album.
Yeah, if it isn't,
it will be.
Okay, it should be.
Someone will get the copyright on that tonight.
To jack off. That's so fucking funny. But I want to know though, was there anything from that? Because people, I hear comics say about like recycling, and I'm at a point only 7 years in, but like there's things a couple years ago that I talked about, and now even just with 2 more years of like some sort of a more clarity on like my point of view, did I kind of revisit a bit and complete take kind of the core of it, but completely rework it, because I'm like, oh, I still have an opinion about that. I just think it's a little sharper now. Do you have that with bits from the...
Well, all of my bits in the past were just, they were so word oriented, and they were just jokes. So to go back and revisit would just be me.
You had no emotional attachment to anything.
No, and that could have been the problem with Edinburgh.
That you weren't...
Because they don't have any emotional attachment to anything?
No, because I didn't.
Oh, with your time.
So whatever I was selling was just a joke to them.
Gotcha.
And,
when do you figure out that that's boring to you? Or you're just like, oh, this isn't... I want to actually...
Well, you figure it out eventually when nobody's laughing.
that's usually quick.
And you realize that the laughs you're getting, mm-hmm. that the real laughs are in between the jokes.
Yeah.
And then you realize, oh, shit, I'm funnier in between my jokes.
Yeah.
Maybe I should try and find a way to make my jokes the in-betweens.
And talk about that. And, I mean, I remember my first Kirk Fox joke, my first one that I heard.
Yeah.
It was great.
What was it?
It was the...
You weren't in Edinburgh.
No, because this one was funny.
Okay.
You said, I'm doing well in Hollywood. Just bought a house next to Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie.
I did say that. I remember that joke. It was in Cambodia.
Well played.
$15.
Well played.
Kirk Fox,
listen,
everyone.
I'll tell you, that joke killed in the States.
Yeah.
Edinburgh.
They could not.
They didn't
like that joke.
Of course not.
I love that joke.
They're like, bring on the Danny Glover material.
Listen, wherever I was, I wasn't connected.
You weren't connected, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You, for our listeners who haven't seen you perform live or heard of you, and that's because most of our listeners are 92 to 97.
Yeah, that's a key demographic.
Why is
not age, reading level.
But why is that? Do you have listeners?
Over 90,000 an episode.
Yeah.
Really? I'll fix that.
After this, you're going to bump that number down to 65.
This is legit.
This is a podcast.
Yes.
This is going out somewhere?
Yes.
Yeah.
This isn't just two guys inviting me up to roofie me?
Well, I mean,
that still might happen.
For like 3 years, it was just Rick Ingram that would listen in his car. And that was it.
Nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that.
Because Rick's great.
If you got Rick listening, you're onto something.
I totally agree with that. You are one of my favorite comics, and I'm not saying that because you're
here. Now, why is that?
Why is that? Because you are a pro, and you take time. The advice you've given me, I've gotten advice from comics who have more experience than me throughout the last 4 or 5 years. I've applied maybe, I don't know, three of those things, two of them coming from you, where I always think about. Like this past weekend, I just did shows in Bloomington, Illinois, and when I think to myself after each show or before about adjustments I want to make or how I'm approaching the weekend, the two things you told me were, because you watched me the Laugh Factory one time, and you gave me, which is the best way to get feedback, where you gave some positive reinforcement, and then you were like, "Hey, stop being so Jewy up there." No, this is what you said. You said, you were nice, and then you said,
I must have liked you for me to even talk to you
for real. Right.
But sometimes,
and that also gave.
I may have been speaking to you because, I rarely take my own advice, so maybe I was hopeful that you could do what I wish I was doing.
I don't know. I feel like you do, though. Because one thing you told me was you go, you weren't, you didn't have any flow up there. You like have a map. I was like, yeah, I kind of went up there and wasn't sure on like what I want to do. It's like, dude, you got to take these guys on a ride. Don't be up there being like, oh, what else you guys want to talk about, or what else do I want to say, or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it just the level of preparedness that it put in my head as far as like needing to have.
It's nice to have a target. You know, it's nice to have a list and try and hit that list.
And then you said talked about having things in chunks and like I just started headlining in June and
it in. I gave you the power. I haven't headlined in 2 years.
That's BS. With the show, come on now.
Listen, I haven't gone out. I'll start going out there again.
You should.
But it's important to have chunks.
Both those things,
little 5-minute chunks is nice.
That's how I remember the shit,
and even
too.
If you have little signposts, it's okay if you get sidetracked because you can get right back to that.
Right.
You know where you want to go.
Right.
Yeah. And
they'll take you into some different rooms because you don't know what will happen. But it's nice to know that no matter what happens, you can get back on your own train.
Yeah,
that is great. That is great advice. And there was not too long ago when I went to see a comedy show, and I actually just sat in the audience. And I thought, okay, let's see what this is like to be an audience member. And I remember one of the comics did the thing where they were just like, what else, and just kind of randomly. And you're sitting there as an audience member going, hey, fucker, this is a show. Like, I paid money. Like, you don't see a movie, and then in the middle of the scene, they stop and go, what should we do now? Should we go to an action shot? Do you want to see the girl in the bikini again? I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's important.
What movie was that?
I think it's important to attack it. You're
Tremors 3.
You got an audition for it tomorrow.
That I won't get.
You might.
I won't get it.
You never know.
Hey, man.
You've gotten one.
That heat is fizzling out, bro.
It goes fast.
It does. Bobby Lee told me that. He goes, it's great you got the movie, but hey, listen up. I'll tell you this. Hey. No, yeah. But it's not that, though. The thing is, though, enjoy it, because it's going away quick.
And kid's smart.
He is.
He knows something.
He's got a real positive negative attitude.
That's at Bobby Lee Live on Twitter.
He's here to... if we say a name, we got to tell him where to find him?
Sure, why not?
Okay.
I mean, we haven't told our listeners where to find you yet on Twitter.
They don't need to.
Well, then I need to backtrack. That's at Mr. Danny Glover on Twitter.
Yeah, you don't want to get a call from him tomorrow.
Hey, Adam, why don't you plug me?
Whoa.
I'm too old for this shit.
That's actually pretty good. Danny Glover might be one of those impressions. You say Kurt Fox, you're not an impression guy, but I feel like that's one of those where it's just kind of, you got to just get low, deep, and gravelly. Pretend that you're Whoopi Goldberg and then just start talking through like a little nasally.
But isn't that any...
isn't that any impression? Pretend you're Whoopi Goldberg.
I mean, I can do any impression. I just don't want to let you know when it's coming.
There you go.
I appreciate that. See, do your Danny Glover again.
Hey, Riggs, I'm getting too old for this shit. Adam Ray, you didn't talk about my Twitter.
See, now do that, but just go a little higher, and that's Whoopi Goldberg.
Or Mr. T, Clarence Williams. It can be anybody.
I do a killer Clarence Thomas, actually.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
That's not bad.
what he says. I've heard them both. Yeah, I couldn't tell you. If I closed my eyes, I think I was in Watts.
I like to, you know, I like to keep things current with the Clarence Thomas
Why
impressions.
Why wouldn't you, man? That's how you're going to get people buying you for the weekend.
Buying me?
Uber.
Uber.
Hey, he's not capitalizing on thousands of businesses because of his size.
Yeah.
Now, are you short?
Well, I know
because,
it's hard for
because
you to
I'll
tell.
Because I'll be honest with you, I've never thought that you were that short. You carry yourself tall.
And he does.
And I that's carry how, myself.
It's incredible.
Well, I mean, someone's carrying you at my eye level.
Right.
That's what I'm saying.
The garbage man is carrying you like Oscar the Grouch
you
got
carry yourself
Sesame
like
Street.
You're tall. Oh, I'm sorry. Someone's carrying you.
Yeah.
Put him down.
Yeah.
Put him down, Riggs.
Yeah.
See? There it is.
Whoa. There. Out of nowhere.
Thank you very much.
Coming.
That's Kirk Fox, at Kirk Fox. We'll be right back.
Oh, man.
He will be right back.
He went to our catchphrase, we'll be right back.
Yeah. Your catchphrase. I say it every day for millions
yeah,
of people.
Man, talk about your show, please. Because I watched it, and you're great on it.
It is a show.
It's
talk
called,
about it.
It's called The Test.
It is called The Test.
And it's so weird for me knowing you as long as I have.
How long have we known each other?
7 years, 8 years.
Whoa, too long.
I know.
Let's back it up.
You like to keep your friendships at like 2 years tops.
Yeah, there's a shelf life.
Yeah,
I didn't know I knew you that long.
Is that a short joke?
No.
Put that friendship
Every
up on a shelf.
A short joke.
Put the friendship on a shelf because he can't reach
exactly.
it.
Exactly. What the fuck, Kirk Fox?
What the fuck, Riggs?
Comes back with authority.
No, that was Clarence.
Yeah, that's
Clarence.
Wow, dude. He's fucking comedy curveballs.
Oh shit!
Now Kirk Fox is giving in rhythm. He's just like bearing him from
the
outside.
Yeah, comfortable now. Now I'm taking in the candles.
I love it. But
it's called The Test.
Yeah.
Conflict resolution.
Right. And
syndicated. It's on TV every day somewhere. Go to thetesttv.com for local listings.
Yeah. And
lie detector DNA drug test. Somebody's coming on the show. Pivotal point in their life. They need an answer. I'm going to give them that answer. I'm saving lives, destroying marriages.
Are you really?
Am I saving lives?
There's been some. I've seen some clips.
I've only seen the destroy marriages ones.
I do some drug interventions. I save a lot of lives.
No shit.
I send people to rehab. I'm changing lives.
Is this something you ever thought you were going to do?
No, I still don't know that I'm doing it.
Because you just said that you're not incredibly. No, I don't think that's entirely true. Where you say you're not incredibly social. Like you talking to me at the comedy club was a big deal.
That was a big step. It's because you're a guy.
Also, I was wearing a mesh tank top, and I read on your blog that you don't talk to males over 30 in mesh tank tops.
This is true. No, I'm trying to be more social.
Yeah.
So when I said I wanted to do your podcast, it was because I usually don't want to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
So this, to me, is like, okay, I'm going to go sit down with these guys, and
appreciate
I'm going to talk,
it.
And I'm going to engage, and I'm going to listen, because it's all good practice for life.
Totally.
And it's a new thing that I'm doing on the show. Because I'm forced to listen to people.
Yeah.
Right. Well, because.
And take in their
problems.
Wait,
so you've had a problem.
Why are you fucking interrupting me?
Because I'm not listening.
Yeah, see, that's your problem. Learn from Adam and myself. We were engaged,
okay.
And you wanted in.
Okay.
Okay, now what do you want?
Well,
too late.
I just said, as a comic, now being in. Because when you're a comic, it's just you on stage and the audience has to listen to you. So, was it a weird adjustment to being the host now where you have to listen to people hash out their problems?
It's a tricky adjustment, and, mm-hmm. and I'm still working on it because there's going to be jokes, but I never want them to be at the expense of the guests.
Of course.
These are real people, they've traveled here, mm-hmm. and they need an answer. Their lives are in trouble.
And that's
and
important to know. That's important to know that they are real people.
These are real
because
people.
I've gotten maybe 5 phone calls in my career to go on the
Come be a staged midget.
The Jerry Springer show. I've gotten those phone calls.
To play what roles?
Oh, like, hey, we're going to have you come out as the surprise boyfriend, and some girl was cheating on her man with you, and then you guys are going to fight, but he's not really going
to
hit you.
Would you be down to do a faux scenario?
Never.
Fair enough.
Because it's just not, yeah, it's not where my brain is.
I got you, yeah.
It's one of the appeals of this show is they're real. And if they're not, they're not coming on the show. We have great producers. The executive producer is Jay McGraw, who does The Doctors.
Okay.
Wow.
And that's Dr. Phil's son.
Yeah.
And, you know,
so they're going through a heavy filtration system of people to be like, this is legit. Now, when you hear some of these scenarios, do you immediately have like this is how I think this is the type of advice I feel like I can share with them, or are you really trying to, because I'm just saying my problem with my ex-girlfriend was she goes, you're always trying to fix my shit when she would talk to me. She goes, sometimes I just want you to listen and like say it's going to be okay or yes and what I'm saying. But my, you know, having to peer mediate my sister.
Until you sit between two people that are fighting for their life or respect or fighting over children, you do not know how you're going to respond.
Yeah.
Because it's real.
Yeah.
So I listen. And then maybe I'll nudge him in the right direction. I've had a lot of years of listening to people, and I come from good stock. I'm smart, so I'm not trying to be too preachy.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And with regards to relationship advice, I can tell people, I can show them what I've done, and suggest they do the opposite, and that works out.
Have you been married or in a significant situation?
Listen, I was married briefly,
yeah.
You know, and it was kind of a joke wedding. But, you know, I got married in Vegas.
We call that the Chris Humphreys.
Yeah, I probably would have married him, but I got married in Vegas.
Oh, shit.
By Elvis, Jimi Hendrix,
Elmo. It was a black Elvis.
Black Elvis?
Elvis?
At the little Elvis chapel.
Hey,
in Vegas,
Brad spends every Christmas there.
I do.
Nice. Why wouldn't you?
Hey, exactly. I fit in. It's my people.
Also, so I had a little baby marriage.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a joke.
Did you like being married? I mean,
no. But listen,
I'm just curious with every comic, every like successful comic that does, and just like how they, what their thoughts on being in a significant situation are.
It's hard. It's tricky. Hmm. Listen, we never lived together. I married her because her dad was my favorite actor. You know, I married Clint Eastwood's daughter.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Did you?
Yeah.
Whoa.
I didn't know that about you.
And so I think that's kind of what came into play. So,
well, like,
you know, I wanted to marry, you know, yeah. I thought I was marrying Clint.
So, I mean, wow. I mean,
so and I wasn't. Because,
so you saw his face when you guys were...
Always, I still do, and I'm not even with her.
Make my daughter's day.
What? I can't.
Is that all you got?
No. Fuck. Sorry, Clint.
Oh my god.
By the way, that was Clarence Williams.
That's right.
Clarence Eastwood. Dude, that's an incredible Eastwood, by the way. So how often?
Why wouldn't it be?
I know he would marry the damn daughter.
How often were you around him? Did you get
not enough?
For sure.
That's why the marriage failed.
But I do remember one time she's like, you know, I only married you because you reminded me of Clint. And I was like, oh, well, that's the exact same reason I married you.
So, which is exactly what a woman wants to hear.
Yeah.
I was the first husband to try and take my wife's last name. So that was good.
You wanted to be Kirk Eastwood.
Why wouldn't I?
Yeah,
Eastwood is a fucking... Well, your name is already dope, but Kirk Eastwood...
Fuck, it's a strong name.
Kirk Eastwood.
He called
man.
Me a son of a bitch once, and I was so excited.
So excited. Oh, my God, of
it's
course.
It's like you called me son. It's like that's all I ever wanted. Can you leave it on my outgoing machine?
Yeah, just get out of the house. Son of a bitch.
God, oh that's better than Rickles calling you a hockey puck.
Yeah.
It's better.
So, you know, I was married briefly.
All right. Mm-hmm. You think maybe again or no? Does a show help you see? Like, for me, I was in a long-distance relationship for about 3 years. It's been 3 years since I've been in it. Every time I have an inkling of going, you know what? I'd like to get back into, like, I meet a girl and have enough of a moment to, like, where I'm like, this seems like it would be fun. Then I see some other CNN.com front page story of a woman who 8 days into her honeymoon shoved her husband off a cliff because she was unsure about the marriage. And I go, oh, that's right.
But that's what women do. Listen,
they kill.
But so all I'm saying is that, like,
I don't know.
I've been with the show.
I've been with the girl for, I mean, 3.5 years.
Right now, currently.
Yeah. And I'm sure she would like to marry me.
Right.
And
well,
I just
who wouldn't?
Well, a lot of people.
Okay. Well, just trying to.
But I don't understand it either.
Well spun.
But I don't know if I'll marry her. You know, she's young, hot, 27, CPA. She'd be a great wife to someone.
There you go.
But I just don't know.
Because the idea of marriage, or you're just like, I don't like.
Don't pull the trigger.
Why change?
Fear.
What's great?
I like what I like being alone.
Yes, I know, dude.
I've
gotten that point in the last couple of years, man. It's kind of, and it's a little bit spooky because I'm like, I kind of dig. People are like, the roses suck. I'm like, I kind of enjoy it.
Yeah.
I mean, there are moments, but there's moments when you're not on the road.
Listen, I do.
Five
I
w- minutes before
do
you
I want
got
children?
Here, I was alone.
Do I want children? I don't know. I'd make a good one, but do I want to be a dad? Yeah.
Sure.
These are just questions. And
do you like being able to like put you first and do what you want?
Yeah, of course. I'm a complete control freak. I mean, look how I came in here. It's just, you know, what are we doing? Yeah. Why are we at this
table? Dick hanging out of his pants.
You know, why is this man leading me up these stairs?
Where do I have to put the money?
Yeah. No, so... And you say, does the show reinforce the fact that I don't want
yes.
to? Well, yeah, but there's also great stories on the
of
show of true love. My parents had a great long
awesome.
Love affair. I mean, I'm the product of real true love.
Now, let me ask you, because I know people say, they go, comics got to come from, you know, what do you identify as? I mean, great, my parents didn't make it with the marriage, and I don't think, that's definitely a piece of why I started to make people laugh to cope with that, but like...
Listen, I am the...
Where do your funny come from?
Well, I don't know where it came from, and I don't even know where it's at, but listen, my dad was funny.
Mm-hmm.
I've never suffered in my life.
So the whole comedy comes from tragedy thing, not necessarily
no,
for you.
No, and that's been one of the problems of trying to like...
Really? Well, Kirk Fox, say hello to Clint Eastwood, who's got all of your comedy CDs.
That's all right.
He's going to shred.
But that's okay, too. Right. It's like, I have nothing to complain about. Like, really? What am I going to complain about? So,
well, you also have a positive outlook on it to be like, hey, man, life's pretty great.
Listen, we're lucky. If you wake up, you're ahead of the game. So so for me to get on stage and bitch about shit, you know, it's kind of tricky for me. So that's why a lot of my earlier comedy... was I was creating all these scenarios,
yeah.
but they were bullshit. There was little seeds of truth, and then I'd weave a whole fake story behind them. So I wasn't basing it on any truths.
Gotcha.
It was just funny shit to me.
Yeah, yeah. And then that's when you had those moments, like you said, that you start learning, going, oh,
well,
yeah, I can put more of myself in these jokes.
You start asking yourself, you know, why am I on stage? Do I just need a laugh? You know, you want to at least be enjoying your work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And people can't fuck with the truth. Yeah. You know, if you're up there really vested in something and you got your feet planted and you're talking about what you believe in, it doesn't really matter if they're laughing because you're telling the truth.
Hell
and
yeah.
Then they'll catch on if you're having fun.
Hell yeah.
And we're all good enough writers where we can make something funny. So
right.
I'm trying to talk about more real shit so that I can go back to Edinburgh and not... bomb.
Mm-hmm. That's got to be on your mind a little bit, right?
Of course it
yeah.
is.
Yeah. I mean, I think most comics remember the last big like bomb that they had, and they always want to
well,
like, go back.
Well, this was just a nice, smooth, consistent bomb.
<It's> like,
can you describe for our listeners? I don't think we've had a comic, a real pro, describe the true feeling of, whether bomb is the word, but just know that like you are losing in the game of trying to do what you're supposed to be doing.
What, to explain it, it's the same as any time you're losing, except now you have a room full of people looking at you, and you can't go anywhere. You know, this was 30 minutes of just standing there sucking.
Wow.
But I was sucking with such confidence that they still listened.
Right.
You know, I said something once.
Okay, so you were owning it.
Yeah, it's like if you're going to suck, you know, suck harder than anyone has ever sucked before.
Fail big.
Because then...
Dash Kim Kardashian.
Because then soon it will become art.
Right.
Okay.
Wow, who said that?
Kirk Fox. It's one of my biggest tweets.
The guy fucking quotes his own tweets.
Well, only because, you know...
That's great, though. I love that shit, man.
Well, but that's one thing you learn also is... You know, your greatest tweets aren't going to be jokes. They're going to be real thoughts.
Of course. They're going to be stuff that really resonates
with
people.
Yeah, so that was something that I said that suddenly, you know, there was 1,000, you know, retweets. It's like, oh, shit. And then I do a joke about socks and, you know, 3 people love it. So it's like, oh, fuck. Okay, just if you're going to say something, just try and connect. And it's the same thing being on stage.
It is.
And it's the same thing coming here to do a podcast.
Yeah.
You just want to connect with the room.
Yeah.
You know, I wanted to see Brad and you and, like, try and connect for a few minutes.
Yeah,
you're so. I mean, I can't. Go ahead, Brad.
I was just say, but Kirk is one of these guys. And when you said that you have that positive outlook on life, you do. I remember almost every time that I see you. Most of the time, you say what's up to a guy. He says nothing. What's up with you? It's a typical bullshit conversation. Kirk, every time I say, hey, Kirk, what's up? You go, living the dream, man.
I'm just living the dream. You know, but I say living what's left of the dream. I'm not living, you know, it's what's left of it. And listen,
you got a lot left, man.
Who knows?
I do.
No, this could be
it. I don't know, but
in this neighborhood?
I know.
This could be it. But
that's true.
I got it from my dad. You know, my dad
what,
was
perseverance?
Not even that. He had none. He was just a handyman. Mm. You know, his perseverance was just, you know, he'd get up every day and say, good morning, morning. How are things up around the moon? You know, and he'd go down to the beach and he would trudge every day, 3 miles a day, you know, with a bamboo stick. They called him Bamboo Ben. And he would talk to everybody.
Bamboo Ben. That just sounds like a character in the Goonies.
You know, but he, like,
go around the dock and meet Bamboo Ben. He'll give you a magic map.
I've talked about him before, but he was a real special character.
What did he do that made you laugh? Like, when did you go, oh, shit, that's my dad's funny?
Well, he never made me laugh till I look back now.
Of course.
And mm-hmm. that's the problem. It's like, oh, shit, yeah. Man, this guy was awesome. Like, I only trudged with him on the beach once. And I remember I found a watch. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, I can't top this. but looking back now, it's
and
like,
then you
shit,
did a 12:45 Comedy Store spot.
Exactly.
Like, all right,
there you go.
But I should have trudged with him. By the end, he had, you know, 200 people trudging with him every day.
Get out, really?
He would trudge with a bamboo stick.
Yeah.
And he'd have followers because he was such a character.
Like Forrest Gump when he went running.
Yeah, exactly. But he would trudge in the deep sand and he used to say Raya.
What's that?
That was something my dad used to say. Well, when he was 65, he woke up one day and he didn't feel so hot, but he went to the beach every day to trudge. And he was trudging. And he stopped, and his heart started kind of going a little crazy. And he took a deep breath, and he reached for the heavens, and he said, Raya. And he didn't know why he said Raya, but he suddenly felt invigorated. He suddenly felt strong, and he started trudging again. And whenever he would get tired, he would take a deep breath, and he'd reach for the heavens, and he'd say, Raya. Mm-hmm. And then people started greeting him. Because surfers would come out of the water and he'd do a Raya. So suddenly people all over Mission Beach in San Diego would greet this crazy old man with a rousing Raya. You know, and then one day I was like, what's Raya? And he's like, you know, it's air backwards. It's the first thing we take in when we're born. It's the last thing we let go of when we die. And that became kind of his thing.
Jesus, you know,
when he died, I put that there.
Yeah. You know? All right. Yeah, you got it. Tattoo of Raya right down your wrist.
Right under the watch band. But
your dad sounds like he was an unbelievable person.
He was cool. You know, but that's where I kind of got it from. And this guy was positive every day of his life. I mean, he was born in 1913, you know, World War II, went to Okinawa.
Yeah,
he was
awesome shit.
He was a house painter.
Jesus.
You know, he met my mom.
Greatest generation.
In the 40s, he was painting a house down in La Jolla with his little dog, Bruce. A little Australian jumper, and Bruce ran down the ladder and took off down La Jolla shores and ran like a mile.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And my dad chased this dog, caught the dog around a corner, picked up the dog, and the dog had been barking at my mom.
And Brad goes, hey, put me down.
Exactly. Yeah, no, that's all right. You can try and interrupt Hart with funny. I mean, if you can ruin moments for your followers. No,
keep going.
No, it's too late.
No. Hey, no, picks
but,
up the dog.
But then, you know, my dad picked up the dog, and the dog had been barking at my mom. So this dog ran a mile down the beach.
That's when they met.
Wow.
My dad picked up the dog and said to, you know, my mom, one day you'll be my wife. And then, you know.
Stories never happen anymore.
Right. Because now it's like, I met the mother of my child based on her pictures to the left on the Tinder app.
Well, now you meet a girl on the beach and it's like, come to my show, and then she'll decide if you're funny. But in the 40s, you know, she was engaged to a guy who was over at Pearl Harbor, so she went over there to see who she liked most. And then she married my dad, and my dad moved in with her and her mother. The house I grew up in is the same house my mom grew up in.
Wow. That's a insane story.
And my dad, you know, just moved in. And he was there the whole time.
Why is no one
raising
made,
five kids?
Why has no one made a movie about your
I'm
dad?
I'm working on it.
Yeah.
Make it happen, buddy.
I'm trying, but I'm podcasting instead.
Well, tell him, Barry. Tell him what he should be doing.
Barry, see, Kirk Fox, you gotta be.
You don't think I hear it from Barry? Barry's my manager, too.
Yeah, I see. You're going to create a problem. That's
Come
what
on,
you're doing.
Kirk, just trust. Trust it.
Well, I mean, but you've
gotta,
written.
You got to
be. But you've written
you
got to
be undeniable.
Be undeniable.
Undeniable.
Every time.
Come on, man. Trust it.
But you've written a movie, though.
Who hasn't?
Oh, that's true.
There's a guy who sits on your corner, this little Buddhist monk who's got a script.
Have you seen that guy?
Of course I see him. I drive past his place every day.
He's on the corner. Okay, I'm just glad that I wasn't hallucinating a monk on the corner of.
Oh wait, oh wait, that's real?
Yeah, he's a Buddhist monk.
Really? And he
gave him shit about the Dalai Lama the other day. Just to check his patience. I was like, you really think he's the chosen one? I mean, they chose him at 2. Don't you think they should have waited till he was at least 13 to see? I mean, the guy's got glasses now, and he's fat and sits on pillows. You think he's the chosen one? He would have been the last one picked.
What does he say?
He just kept listening. And then I said, you know, he was taking it in. And I'm like, this guy was chosen at 2. He was taken away from his parents and put on a monastery. And his parents never even came and looked for him. So I think they call him the chosen one because it sounds better than the abducted one. But they never even went and got him. So it's like, clearly these parents, it's like, okay, either fucking military school,
yeah,
or hopefully someone will just pick you up. Right. Do you know how they chose the Dalai Lama?
No.
How's that?
They took a... There's
Scantron.
Good. Try. Keep trying to be funny. It's a tough room.
It's a real tough room.
I know.
Let me tell you something.
You invited me here. I didn't invite you here.
I bring these candles to be on the road. And so far...
And one of them's going to be empty. Yours looks like it's taking more oxygen than mine. All right, but they took a sandbox. Okay. And they took like 10 children who were all born at the same time the other Dalai Lama died. And they put toys in this sandbox. And one of the toys belonged to the previous Dalai Lama. And whichever kid went to that toy is the new Dalai Lama.
What the fuck?
Yeah, so that's your chosen one?
That's your
the they do that with fat kids and cheeseburgers at the McDonald's play place ball pit.
Exactly, yeah. And they're the chosen ones too.
Are you serious? That's how they do it?
Why would I lie to you? Why would I travel 4 blocks
to bullshit you? To jack don't change your slogan.
That sounds like it's like a bad reality show on Fox. Who wants to be the Dalai Lama?
But then you get
the, shows babies crawling you get, towards toys.
But then you get the moms. It's like, only go to the wood toy. Do not fucking go to the Legos or the Tonka.
Or the Tonka.
Go to the wood tambourine.
Yeah, they're probably encouraging
shit,
him.
Man.
And that's the shit I gave this guy. And he kind of agreed.
Mm-hmm.
I was testing his patience.
Yeah.
But basically, he was just dehydrated
you,
with
man.
Sunstroke.
Now, did you get this sort of the amount of confidence to check
do
the
I
patience?
Ha- do
no,
I
ha- it has the show contributed to your interest in patience checking on street corners.
No.
You've always been like
that. I talk to people. I've always enjoyed people.
You're a good conversationalist.
Listen, I could be.
No, you are, and here's why: because you're quick and you listen.
Yeah, that's something I need. I need to work on listening a little more. Like I watch some of these shows, and I interrupt a little too much. So, as we tape more shows, I'm going
to
work on.
I was going to ask just the way like comedians will listen to their set or tape it and listen to it for to make adjustments. You do that with the show, yeah.
I watch.
Is it tough to watch yourself, or do you?
Yeah, because I'm so handsome. I just feel
that
like,
is true.
Oh,
you are a good looking guy.
Why
man.
Is this curse here? I mean, how can people focus? How can people focus on these other people's problems when I'm in the middle of this?
Now, one thing I don't like, and I will say you have patience, Kirk Fox.
You will?
Because I've seen
you can say it.
I've seen the show, The Test, and there's so many times I'm going, how is Kirk not strangling this person right now, trying to like slap some sense into him, and you sit there and you just kind of and you.
I want to.
Yeah, and how do you hold yourself back in those situations?
With my new posture. You know, I joined a gym when I got this show. They got me a trainer, and I joined the gym at Paramount. It was one of the perks. It's like, listen, They're like, do you need anything? I'm like, I'd like a new body.
Were you joking?
Am I going to travel 4 blocks to jack off? Wait, you think I'm making up shit?
I don't know. Are you?
Space? No. Yeah,
all right.
Listen. So,
how was the gym at Paramount, by the way?
Awesome.
Oh, God. I can only imagine, dude. That's where the cast of Dreamgirls got to work out.
Really? Some of them are still
there.
Would
I come 2 feet out of my bedroom to jack off?
Some of the Golden Girls are still there. This might be.
That's where they're hiding.
We'll be right back with more bullshit movie facts about Paramount with Kirk Fox in just a second.
Wait, do we have to take a break?
No,
is that real? Or
Yeah. One second. Yeah. Hi, I'm Danny Glover with Jamba Juice. When your day is not going the way you want it to go, strap on a nice protein boost or an immunity boost or, hey, maybe a Glover boost. That's Danny Glover Boost at Jamba Juice, 3509 Lancashire Boulevard. Tell them Dan sent you. They'll know who it is.
And we're back.
Kirk Fox, nice. Our guest here on the
show. So, did you just make money?
Yeah. We get paid in smoothies.
Hopefully, I just made a Twitter follower.
I like that. From Danny Glover or Jamba Juice? Shit, Jamba Juice is following me.
Yeah. Both provide endless amusement in our lives.
I'd rather have Jamba Juice. I've tweeted things about Wheat Thins once. Wheat Thins retweeted me.
Yeah, wrong. Really?
Can I be honest?
Why wouldn't you? Can you be honest?
You got to be here more often, man. All right, so
back to the gym.
Yeah,
yeah.
Which is the name of a sitcom starring all three of us that we should pitch.
But I'm busy.
Back to the gym.
Let's get someone to play me. Yeah. I don't know if I can do the show with you guys, but I got someone.
You got a taunt Dalai Lamas.
I got one. All right, I'm not done with him.
I'm not done with him. He's gonna convert.
I'll track him down. He's got friends.
He's going to be a Jew by next Tuesday, let me tell you.
I will convince the world that the Dalai Lama did not want to be chosen. I will fucking get him in a room and say, listen, would you rather be somewhere else in pants? Would you like Dockers?
Like Dockers?
Tell me you want to kill a fly.
Wait, would you like... By the way, you are just listing show title after show title.
That's what I'm here for.
Taunting the Dalai Lama, would you like Dockers?
Would you like Dockers?
There it is.
Maybe it's a book.
Back to the gym. Yes. Yeah, I got a trainer, and I've put on 5 pounds of muscle.
Awesome.
My posture is much better. I feel a lot better about myself. I had been the same weight for 20 years. I'd been 186, same as my IQ, which is awesome. Sometimes when I would lose weight, I thought I was getting dumber.
But you're like a 6'9", 186.
Well, you're not good with height.
I don't know heights, okay?
And that's not even a joke.
It's not. I'm terrible at it. People are like, hey, yeah, that fucking short dude. He was like 5'2". I'm like, that's not short to me.
All right, listen, I'll be honest.
It's perspective. Listen. If you say 3'2", okay, we're talking. But anything above 4'4" is fucking huge.
I wasn't giving you shit. I was just saying... As you look up, I'm sure I'm looking like a redwood.
You do.
I'm 6'5".
6'5".
6'9", too much.
Yeah. I would say 6'5". I'd say 6'6", like if you're not looking down.
Or if I'm standing tall with my new posture.
There it is.
There you go. Boy.
So I got strong for the show.
It's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Because I knew I'd be working long hours.
Sure.
I wanted to sit up straight, but I also wanted to protect myself in case someone came at me.
Well, yeah, because you...
No shit. That was a legitimate concern.
Yeah, I mean, he is in situations where people are finding out that they're fathers of children. People are finding out that their dad is not really their dad, that they're being cheated upon. Their emotions are running high.
Yeah, dude, that they weren't picked in the sandbox. Like, they're finding out all sorts of past occurrences.
Exactly.
Now, wait a minute.
That's
who?
A great name of a book. Were you picked in the sandbox?
Yes, by Shel Silverstein. How many scenarios have you actually been in, though, where you were like... Boy, I'm glad I did that extra 5 pound arm curl today.
Almost every one of them.
Really?
But I've been using my strength to exit quicker.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's fights and I want out.
Great answer.
And I want out. Like, I don't want to engage.
Is that in the contract or is that part of the show where you go, look, once things get to fight status, I'm out.
That doesn't even have
Fox
to,
out.
That doesn't even have to be in anything. It's like, I do not want to engage in violence.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the show, I'm coming at it with love. I'm really trying to love these people and see if we can make it work.
And you do. I mean, I noticed
not
that
always.
When you host, because like I said, there's times where I'm wondering how you don't strangle these people, and instead you're giving them encouragement and you're soothing advice and you're listening to them. And I don't know how you do it, man, but you
I'm
do it.
Talented.
And you pull it off. Obviously,
you're undeniable.
He's being undeniable, man.
Yeah, get a new car. No, I'm keeping the Honda. Really? Yeah.
It's funny. Barry actually brought you up to me the other day. He says, "Brand."
Oh, he knows me.
Oh,
that's crazy.
He knows you. Barry said to me, "Brand, you want to know how Kirk Fox got the talk? Not the talk, the test. Sorry about that. You want to know how Kirk Fox got the test?" And he told me the story, which I promptly forgot, but I remember it was inspiring.
Great story. Well,
hey, great story.
Hey, when can Brad be on a
Yeah, I'm a great guest, aren't
sometimes
I?
Sometimes it's important to make your listener think they're about to hear something and then just fucking pull the plug on anything that they thought was coming.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, wow, Brad, that is a hell of a setup. Oh, that's it? Interesting.
You know,
we'll
what you
right
were, you know what you just did, Brad? You just were Santa coming into the kids' room with the bag of presents.
You know what you just were?
Unwrapping them and then taking a giant shit on them and then putting them back in the bag and taking them.
You were just Kirk Fox in Edinburgh.
Wow. That's all I've ever tried to be, Kirk.
That's all right.
That's all I've ever tried to be.
It's a lot to live up to.
Absolutely.
Who have you gotten to, like you said you did those joint shows with Maron, but then you opened for Charlie Sheen?
That was just one. Yeah. That was one night.
But
still.
But that was the night. I mean, that was when Sheen was going nuts. It was all that winning and Warlock and
Tigers,
all that.
Tiger's blood.
Yeah, all that stuff. Sheen decides to go on a comedy tour, and who do we find out is opening up for him? But Kirk Fox. Like how did that even go down?
Well, I think Marc Maron was up at Charlie's house and they were talking about the tour. And I think maybe Mark suggested that he'd need someone to open.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how my name came in there. I had known another friend of Charlie's and I had written up kind of a monologue that I thought Charlie should say on stage.
Mm-hmm.
And Charlie read that and thought that was funny. And then they just hired me.
It was
just a clusterfuck. It was a perfect storm.
Mm-hmm.
Enjoyable?
For the one show?
It was enjoyable because to get 5,000 people booing at once.
This was an Edinburgh sequel.
Wait, at you?
Of course.
Because they're like, where's Chuck?
Where's Chuck? You know, it was an interesting. We were in Detroit, and I was supposed to go out and do 20 minutes. And then Charlie was going to come out and do his thing. It seemed like an easy... And I told Charlie, I'm like, listen, this can go real well or it can go real bad because they're going to want to see you. And I think I said, the key is just get me out there quick. And then let me just try and...
Wait, like before people were settled in their seats, like at a comedy club where they're still taking drink wars?
No, just like, you know...
Did Charlie come out and introduce you?
No. Okay. Here's how it
keep it going for not me. And then he sat back down.
Basically, a guy was going to introduce me from off stage and just say, you know, please welcome Kirk Fox. And then I'd come out and do 20 minutes, and it would almost be like I was hosting the show.
Okay.
Which I thought could work.
Yeah.
But instead of being introduced from off stage, the guy came out on stage.
Oh, God.
And just said, "Are you ready to rock?"
Oh, and gets them all.
Are you fucking ready?
God, huge difference in doing what you just mentioned.
Yeah.
Are you ready for Charlie? And Detroit went crazy.
Sure, because this is night one of the tour.
I would say I'm not going on at that point.
It's just like, I was like, all right.
I love that fucking, if I can fucking take that face you just made.
Sure.
And then they're like,
oh, shit, that's how you're going to do it, huh?
Are you ready for Charlie Sheen? They're crazy. They're screaming, all right, but first.
Oh.
And then he said, you know, I don't think he's fucked as many hookers or smoked as much crack. But,
Jesus.
You know, I think that's what he said. And then he said,
and we both know, both not true stats.
We don't know things.
We don't know things.
But then.
That's your next album.
And then I went out, and they were booing pretty quick.
Shit.
Well, I mean.
But you powered through.
Well, listen, it was not good. I mean,
but that one's not on you, right? Like how
everything's on you.
I agree.
Everything's
I
on
totally
you.
Agree.
I
don't get in arguments with comics when they go crowd sucked, but I go in my head I go Yeah, man. Because I also, you know what, and I'm glad that I early on didn't use that as an excuse, because it's forced me to take control. Like, always try. When I see a crowd that's awful, and somebody like, you still want to go up, or blah blah blah, or this, or I am going up and it's bad halfway through, I'm like, I can.
Of course,
I can,
listen.
You can
look,
always,
look, looking,
you can change it.
Looking back, I could have had a different angle in. You can win a room. Even if they're booing, you can find a way to massage them back. So for 10 minutes...
But you have to do it instantaneously.
Yeah, you have to get them on your side quick, and you don't want to encourage the booing. Yes. At one point, I was like...
It's like, how do you get them to listen for a second?
It's like, there's only 2,000 booing. I want all of you.
Is that what you said?
Yeah.
There you go. Fight them back.
So, and then I think 10 minutes in, Charlie came out and kind of apologized. You know, love this guy. He's my friend. Mm-hmm. Then he gave me a Hershey's kiss. And now they...
Wait a minute. What? What is he, fucking Willow?
No. He gave me a piece of chocolate. Maybe he thought I was hypoglycemic. But either way, now they have seen Charlie.
Right.
And now they at least know he's in the room.
Yes.
And then I did another 10 minutes.
Did it get a little better after that?
No.
No?
Come on, Brad.
Listen, I was hoping for the happy ending here.
No.
Listen, I was, you know, I was grasping for straws. Like, at one point, I even said, come on, man, I'm from Detroit. You know, I'm not from Detroit, but I was desperate to, like, love me.
Oh, Jesus.
Please, I'm from Detroit. I know what you're going through. You know, what?
Well, like... And
I wasn't finishing jokes.
Oh, my God.
And, you know...
That's a true sign of just like...
Well, it's just like what I said to you about have a nice set list and stay to your set list. You know, it was just like I was just pulling jokes out. Like, there was just no flow. But it was... And I didn't feel that bad about it, because it was like, shit. When something is that bad, you just got to laugh at it and say, listen, I didn't have it that day.
Why do you think I enjoyed the movie Eight-Legged Freaks?
Yeah.
Same reason. When it's that bad, it's pretty fucking cool.
That's a great story, Brad. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Danny Glover. Ever find yourself in a situation where food just ain't that handy? Introducing Handy Snacks. It's a little thing of cheese with little bread, mini breadsticks that look like baseball bats. Ever dip baseball bats in cheese? Now you can. Mini baseball bat breadsticks in a pool of cheese. I'm Danny Glover. Find me at DannyGlover.com/Twitter.
And we're back.
And we're back.
Now, will that... Did you make money again?
Yeah, Handy Snacks. No,
we actually lost money on that one. Danny Glover is paying us. Danny Glover got fired from the campaign, so he's paying us to take them down.
Now, will Handyman...
Handy Snacks.
Will they come into play?
Hope so.
You know what? That was my favorite snack as a child. So if by come to play you mean sponsor my next gig, hey, who knows? We don't know things, as you said, Kurt.
Now you had said this. We can go in any direction we want occasionally.
Yeah.
But these noise-canceling headphones,
yeah, right?
I realize now that they're just keeping my tinnitus intact.
Brad, Google tinnitus, please.
Yeah, I'm going to have to do that really quick. You're way smarter than us, Kurt Fox.
Would you go again to school?
UC San Diego.
Nice.
Aztec.
I went to USC.
No, Aztec.
We both did.
Aztec is San Diego State.
Oh, damn it.
UCSD is for doctors and...
Oh, okay.
What did you study?
Chinese.
Chinese? Just doctors and Chinese?
Yeah.
Shit, man. At least they narrowed it down.
I got a doctorate in Chinese.
How come you didn't get a Chinese doctor?
I didn't have time.
We'll be right back.
Hi,
I'm Danny Glover. Ever find yourself in a summer's breeze without any summer fun?
I'm Danny Glover. Ever you find yourself with tinnitus? You know what you do with tinnitus? You take the tea and get the tinnitus, and we'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Danny Glover.
Wait, can you imagine that? Yeah, that's some weird Inception shit.
Tinnitus is ringing ears. So that makes sense. Yeah, thank you, Google.
Are your ears? We can turn you down. Has it been too? I didn't even ask.
No,
you.
What I'm saying is, for about 3 months, I've been battling tinnitus.
The ringing ears? Every now and then, do you get like the...
Yeah, but mine don't stop.
Oh, fuck.
So I'm trying to figure out what has happened. I don't know if it was from the yelling on stage.
Mm-hmm. At the booze? To quiet the booze?
No.
The booze at the Sheen show?
No. This I'm talking 3 months. Sheen was 3 or 4 years ago.
Fair enough.
See, I'm just... like I'm... That's worse than what I was thinking, because when you said you were battling tinnitus, that sounds like the name of a fighter. Like, yeah.
Listen, I'm going up against tinnitus. This guy goes right up your ears. He Friday. Boxes your ears.
It's Fox. It's tinnitus.
It's Fox.
I'm doing a new movie. It's called Tinnitus Anyone. You thought Tennis Anyone was good?
Tinnitus.
Does this keep going in and out?
Yeah, a little bit. Are you hearing a pop?
Well, I hear myself talking, and then I realize that I'm not.
No, you're in all the time.
Always. But
is your headphone popping?
Yeah. Well, this thing sometimes stops. Okay. And I just wonder if that's a button you push so that you have the upper hand.
No, it's good. Okay. Brad, is the light blinking on his headphone?
No. Light's all right.
But yeah, so I'm dealing with tinnitus. My ears have been ringing for 3 months. A lot of cops get it, and sometimes it goes away. But Barbara Streisand has it. She blames her anger on it, her temper.
For real?
A lot of people have had it. Steve Martin has it.
Wow.
And it's a constant ring. You just have to find a way to deal with it. Gerard Butler has it, which I think...
All right, quit name-dropping. No, Jesus Christ.
I'm just talking. No. Well, I mean, you don't want tinnitus. I think he got it from Sparta. A lot of yelling. But the greatest one...
Or working with Katherine Heigl. Exactly. We'll be right back.
I'm Danny Glover. Katherine Heigl is actually my best friend, so fuck you, Adam Ray. We'll be right back.
Nice.
And we're back, yeah.
You're getting better.
Yeah.
But I also read today that Vincent Van Gogh had it.
And that's...
Is that why
he cut it off?
I think that's why he cut his ear off.
Because why else would he cut it off?
But I think there's a good joke where the girl says, "Hey, Vincent, got your ear? Thanks. Can you make it stop ringing?" But it's just nonstop, and I'm trying to figure out a way to deal with it.
But hey, if that's your thing, do you ever say this? Like, I got in a bad car accident last week, and I'm dealing with some pretty decent little sciatic pains in my leg now. But I always say, well, shit, man, I'm not dead. First of all, from the accident, but also I'm like, well, if that's what I like, I'll you know, let my head go to a place of if this is like a constant thing I now have to deal with. But then I go, well, if that's it, I'll take it. If that's going to be
no, if I could go back and do whatever
to cut the ringing out,
yeah. If they're like, but you got a TV show, it's all right. I'd rather not have a TV show. I'd rather have nice quiet ears.
Oh my God!
Maybe it's a neck injury, but it's crazy. It's nonstop.
When did it start?
3 months ago.
Shit. Hmm. Have you seen anything for it?
You know, I've seen. An ear doctor who said you're fucked.
Oh, that's a good thing to hear from a doctor.
Opinion. It's just it's tinnitus.
I mean, Paramount doesn't have a doctor next to their big gym.
They got Dr. Phil. Well, Kirk, what you need to do is stop listening to people's problems and start listening to your own problems, and then maybe
it'll stop ringing.
We'll be right back. Oh, I'm Danny Glover. Wait, why are you doing Dr. Phil? Well, because I had to stay in the same voice. It's my show anyway. Did you get to see him? You're in the same lot?
As who?
Dr. Phil.
Yeah, Phil.
No, Danny Glover. At the same lot as Dr. Phil.
I see Phil just about every day
you
of my
see
life.
Phil. Look at that.
We play tennis a few days a week.
Shut up.
Get out. Really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you're kind of a big tennis pro.
Well, you taught it for how long?
I taught for 10 or 15 years when I came to town.
No shit.
I bet you were
awesome. Tennis to the stars.
Were you really?
Sure.
You taught tennis to some celebrities?
That's all I did.
Holy shit. That's
all right, now you got a name drop.
No.
Can I guess?
Barbara Streisand, Gerard Butler, Van Gogh.
Fucking quick, dude.
Van Gogh had a killer backhand.
Oh, I'm sorry. I meant Van Patten.
Oh, okay.
No, I taught everybody, but every part I ever got in a movie was because I was teaching the director tennis.
Is that how you got the show? Is that how you got the show, The Test?
I'd like to think not, but I'm sure it came into play. Listen,
no, you don't become a host of a show just because, like, you don't.
I do. Listen,
I mean, you do.
Jay McGraw was putting together this show, The Test, and Dr. Phil suggested that Jay take a look at me, and then the rest is history.
Did Dr. Phil know you as a comedian, or just know you as his tennis instructor?
I was never his tennis instructor.
Oh, okay.
You just played friendly.
We're just friends. We play doubles. We play singles.
Oh, okay.
I've never taught him tennis.
Okay,
I haven't taught tennis in 5 years, but I've known Phil for about 4 years.
Mm-hmm. Good dude?
Great dude.
Seems like it. Yeah. And I think similar, you know what, similar to the way you conduct yourself on your show, I mean, you probably, too, start out watching some, right? Just to get a little bit of, like, watch the, like, when I was a young kid.
And if you're doing anything in life, watch the people that are successful at that.
Sure.
And then you'll learn from it.
What do you think about that when people say, like I heard Smash Mouth, not to it. By the way, if you're listening at home, drink five every time we say the word Smash Mouth.
What is Smash Mouth?
The band.
The band.
Okay. Might as well be walking on the sun. Bam, 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 bam.
I know the song. I've heard mm-hmm. it.
Great.
I'm not big in music. I should be bigger.
It's fine. They.
I have a car stereo.
They.
I listen to talk radio.
I said stop bragging.
He's making it in the world.
They said that they don't listen to any other like bands. Because they don't want to be influenced. And I know comedian friends, mutual friends of ours, that
right.
don't like to watch stand-up because they don't want to be influenced. But you, I mean, you feel like you should, right? I mean,
well, it's something I had never done before.
Right.
So you want to watch
right.
people
get
that...
Get a general idea.
Yeah, so once you get it, if you did this for 5-6 years, yeah, you'd probably stop staying up late with your pants off watching Phil.
Yeah, but he's during
not on
the
TV
day.
Outside of his apartment. Obviously. Yeah. We'll be right back. I'm Danny Glover. Kirk Fox is a good guy. You know who's not a good guy? Van Gogh. Cut his ear off, gave it to a bitch, left it ringing. Anyway, handy snacks are great. I remember that from the old commercial? Cut!
Listen, how did Danny Glover become the guy?
What guy? The guy for this? That's not yeah. a running bit, by the way. This is the first time.
This is tonight?
But, yeah, this is yeah, tonight.
Oh, right? It could be huge.
Yeah.
It could be what defines you.
You know what, though? This business is so fucked up.
It might be.
Is it?
Yes.
Well, hey, that, John. No,
but we don't decide what becomes popular.
Hey, do you have any water in this establishment?
Yeah, do you want some? Yeah. I didn't ask.
No, I just want to know if you had it in case of fire. Fuck yeah, I want some. I'm Danny Glover. When I want water, I fucking drink water.
Yes. Oh, shit.
Keep talking, Brad. Keep talking.
Well, but it's right. You don't.
Wait, now
know.
I got to talk to him by myself?
Yeah, just me now.
Oh,
come
shit.
Come on, Kirk. We're friends.
I don't
we can
know.
Hang out and have a conversation.
All right, what do you want to know?
But basically what I was saying is he's right in that, like, John Reap, we know John Reap, great comic, and then he's known as that thing got a Hemi guy.
Uh-huh.
Because that was just that one catchphrase that he got. The man asked for water, and you brought him a Coca-Cola.
What is this?
Come on, Adam Ray.
Is this a product placement?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. Coca-Cola is nice.
So there's people listening to us still?
Yeah, they're still listening.
Why?
Well, because, Kirk...
I mean,
you're,
I love
you're great
them.
Comic. You're an entertaining man.
Listen,
we've been laughing the whole time.
I like to think of myself as just a man. thank you, sir. Yeah,
there's your water.
Good
sir.
To be here.
Yeah. But I. So why don't you get back into tennis and teach some more stars?
Well, because I'm a star now.
Yeah, he needs his own Kirk Fox. No, let's teach him.
Stars hang with stars, and
listen,
you know that.
I'm. I would like to start teaching tennis again, to tell you the truth.
Would you really?
Yeah, and I'm gonna kind of look into it. Mm-hmm. Well, the funny thing is my basket of balls is still, it's ready.
Well, that's kind of funny.
But it's been about 5 years.
I'm pretty sure Peter North said that before his last scene. His basket of balls is ready.
Who's Peter North?
Porn star.
Oh.
I know too much.
Brad knows a lot of porn stars, Kurt. I don't know if you know that about him, but you just learned that right now.
Yeah, it happens.
Your basket of balls, where are they right now?
Well, they're in my garage.
In the thing that you used to pick up,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, and
I know what that's called. I played tennis for a long time, Kirk.
It's a hopper?
Huh?
A hopper?
Yeah. It's a basket. It's a picker thing or upper.
Adam thought you were doing the Boston guy from the...
I know he did. I could tell.
Cable commercial.
He was seeing if there was an opening.
Oh, yeah. We're gonna go watch it on the hopper.
It's
called the hopper.
Or a tennis basket. Whatever you want. Whatever's going to make this work.
Do you use the move with your foot in the racket where you, you know, kind of sandwich
well,
the ball
I
and pick
to
it up?
When I was a little girl and wore a tennis skirt.
See, now we're connecting. Now you're actually seeing into my past.
Yeah, exactly.
Did you ever see Tennis Anyone? The tennis movie I made?
No, but I saw Shanghai Nights twice in the theater.
Well, great. That has nothing to do with what I just asked. Is that a moth?
Yeah. Sorry, we got moths flying around. We tried to kill that moth last week.
No. Yeah, we tried to. Yeah,
and
take him out,
just,
Brad.
He's got longer arms. He can do it.
I want to see you do it.
I like him.
No, I don't.
He's indestructible. We tried to kill him for 2 weeks.
We actually have,
and he just keeps living.
That did it.
Rest in peace. I have some moths also. I have a theory on moths as well.
Love to hear it.
What's that?
Well, first of all. You know, they say that mothballs can kill you as well.
For real?
Humans. And I've never, first of all, I've never seen a sweater worth dying for. But they tell you to put the mothballs in the back of the closet so that the moths will go to travel to them.
Okay.
But then when they eat the mothballs, it takes them 3 days to die. So now
it smells like shit when you smell a closet full of mothballs.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But for those 3 days, what they're doing is they're eating.
Mm-hmm. What?
So it's almost like a last meal. They're like, you know, dead moths.
Why are we so polite to them?
You tell me. Did we seem polite to that fucker?
We
had three guys that were trying to kill him. We were like,
Kurt reached out with a strong palm.
We were like,
a cushion. Brad,
I had little tiny ping pong paddles over here going nuts. Whatever.
Yeah, you caused a distraction.
It's cool.
You caused him to flurry towards Kurt.
I was waving him over the guy got it in the planes.
I actually want to put a sweater out front with just a spotlight. Just so they won't even come in the house. It's just like a drive-thru.
What if you attract, like, Mothman, the Batman version?
Maybe.
What if that's his calling card?
I have a lot of moths. Like, if people come over, I just tell them, make sure they leave their sweater in their car. And lock it. Because these fuckers...
Who do you tell that to? The Dalai Lama?
Just anyone who's coming over with a sweater.
For sure.
Yeah, Dalai Lama doesn't wear a sweater. He's got a rope.
I think you should get back into tennis. Because
I do
think,
too.
Because especially if you say you've been hitting the gym, you're probably like you should see where your skills at.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm better now than I.
Yeah,
for sure. We're all better
than
now
than I used to be.
Yeah, that and tennis is a good workout. You could probably just do that.
But I already play tennis every day.
Every day.
I played golf today.
You love golf.
Golf was fun. Played with Kevin Nealon today for melanoma.
Wow.
For melanoma.
Little charity drop. Event.
Oh, for melanoma. Oh, that's right.
Yeah, I drop a lot of names. You know why? Because I can't.
Oh, is melanoma tinnitus' sister?
Could be. We're going to work on some of these jokes. I'm going to write them out. No, I'm here for you.
We'll hash them out till next week.
Next week,
they'll come back strong.
Next week, some of these jokes are going to kill.
Well, listen, Kirk, we'll have you back. I'll hash these things out.
I may never come back. But it's good to know where you live in case I'm ever in trouble.
It is.
You had water? You got a Coke?
Are you that close?
We've been hospitable.
Four blocks away.
That's great, dude. Should hang.
There you go. That was the most honest answer I've ever heard.
You're quick, man. See, you're rapid fire with your answers, but they're also dead on, and they're different. Mm-hmm. Brad goes, hey, tinnitus could be melanoma's brother. You're like, yeah, could be.
Could be.
It's just fucking, that's a great
But it's not. One would be adopted, and they don't get along. So fucking don't do that joke again.
Yes, ended.
Oh.
He added to it. Kirk, you're one of those guys where... When you go on, I hate saying comic because it sounds like.
What does that mean?
Yeah.
Right, because like when you say comic, it sounds like, oh, well, he's not funny to the general public, but comics love him. Like, so I don't want to call
you. Do comics
that.
Love me?
Yeah, they do.
I don't know that.
Yep. We love you, man. You're one of those guys when we
Most
walk
comics
in.
Think I'm a dick, but the truth is I'm just kind of shy and I want to leave
But who tells you that? Because I have never... I feel like we're both like well into the comedy scene. And
are you guys? Are you guys comics? You guys
we're dabbling.
Okay. I hadn't met you.
We try. I mean,
hey,
I know.
Man, just because I don't play tennis with Dr. Phil's wife.
Someone has to. You could.
See, that's it. What are those called? Like, there's got to be a word for the, I guess, just clever retorts.
Just precise attacks.
Just precise.
Passive aggressive brilliance.
Passive.
Oh, dude,
we can't.
Smart man.
I can't follow Kirk Fox.
That's fine. Smart man's enough.
Smart man. I was saying smart, comma man, but
you want
the title of smart man.
Why not?
That's great.
On point.
We'll be right back. Hi, I'm Danny Glover for tennis rackets.
I'm Danny Glover for smart man.
It's a new kind of water for the man who pretty damn smart. You think you're getting too old for this shit? Take a smart man. It's a pill in water form. What the fuck are we selling? We'll be right back. Huh?
Do you like smart water? Can you taste the difference?
Yeah, it is better. It's better than Aquafina. Dasani and Aquafina are coming from the tap. Sure they are.
I like tap. I like dumb water. Less pressure.
I think
you mean
you like tap. I think you swapped out your P for B.
I like tap. I drink tap water and I like it.
Do you really?
Out of the hose is real good.
Who are you, Charlie Bucket?
If I had to be.
all right, we got to get that. We can't get any more. That's it. Kirk Fox on Twitter at Kirk Fox.
Yeah, you can try me there.
And you're at the Comedy Store, Laugh Factory.
A few nights a week. Rarely Laugh Factory because of the parking.
But the test is,
Check your local listings.
Go to thetesttv.com.
There you go.
And if you want to be on the show, come on out to LA, and I'll solve your problems.
So we can't
end them.
So people if they do like send like if Brad and I if you didn't know us and we did email like
I don't really know you. What I know, I like that you're attempting.
Yeah, so
doesn't admit.
I like
to
that you're trying.
If we had a scenario emailed to you that was like, hey, my. Sex doll that I ordered from Israel came to life and dyed his hair blonde on the top. And now he's trying to steal all my money and fuck my mom. What system would we have to go through?
First, we'd have to make sure the sex doll had a visa so that it could work here. And then possibly just fly it out to LA, both of you.
Perfect. Well, I guess you know who your guests are next Wednesday.
Why not?
Perfect.
Let's do this thing.
All right.
Is it a paternity or just straight up lie?
Oh, straight up lie.
It's not a DNA test? You don't want to check to see?
Listen.
No, I'm having you take all the tests, motherfucker.
Oh, listen. I know that sex doll's mine, asshole.
I was talking about you.
Oh.
I said you were the sex doll that I ordered. I didn't hear the imperative detail. I said the sex doll comes to life.
See, Kirk needs to teach me how to listen.
Shit, man. See, we get out on stage and I go, this is my sex doll. And Brad's like, no, I'm not. Remember? He's coming out in a second. Oh, man. And then we have to fake fight just to cover it up and look like we're exciting.
I'm almost
Do you like
up.
The way I'm letting you guys close it on your own?
He could save us.
I know. I try to get on so many of your fucking precise attacks.
He's Phil Jackson.
Maybe next time.
Most coaches would call timeout. He's letting us play.
Precise attacks, by the way, is Danny Glover's last straight to DVD film.
Precise attacks.
Yeah, yeah. He tried to pitch it to Mel to do. Anyway. All right. Thanks for listening, guys. About last night.
I taught tennis to Mel Gibson once.
What?
Did you? That's
right, real quick.
No, that's it.
Okay.
That's
thanks,
as quick as
Kurt Fox. Thanks for coming on.
We talked about it in The Patriot. I did The Patriot with him.
What? You're in The Patriot?
Yeah. Maybe check my IMDb next time. Nothing to say.
We can't.
It's over.
It's done. You know what?
You had your chance.
At Kirk Fox on Twitter.
I'll be back someday.
Watch the test. He'll be back. Funnier than us.
Good night.
We're all funny in our own way. Just mine gets more laughs.
Good night, everybody.
Take care. Be safe.
Hi, I'm Danny Glover.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years. One of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.